Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello, my friends. Deb Boulanger here, and welcome to this live recording of the Life After Corporate podcast. If you are new to our show, Life After Corporate is the ultimate guide for women leaders making the leap from corporate to entrepreneurship and replacing the paycheck they left behind. And today, I am super excited and very honored to introduce you to Stacey Mayer. Stacey is a certified executive coach and promotion strategist on a mission to bring more diversity to the leadership table by doubling the number of women in the C-suite. Stacey is a friend and colleague of mine, and today we are celebrating the birth of her new book, which is only 1 week old, called Promotions Made Easy. So jump into the conversation with us today, no matter where you are connecting to us from. I know we're going live on LinkedIn, we're going live on Facebook. So join this book launch party and welcome Stacey Mayer to Life After Corporate.
Thank you so much, Deb. Thank you for throwing me a party. It has been the weirdest week of launching a book and having, like, I had one party, a party with my mom. We went to Sonoma County Wine Country to celebrate my book, and that was absolutely fabulous. So I won't discount that. But otherwise, you know, I thought I would write a book and have a big old party. So this is my big old party. Thank you, Deb. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And Stacey, I met, I guess, almost 2 years ago now in a mastermind group that we both belong to. And I just immediately connected to your energy and what you were doing in the world. And I loved the executive ahead of time program that you had launched. I thought that was just such a brilliant way of phrasing it, of, you know, prepave your success to get to the C-suite by preparing for it now. And I know you launched your company a few years ago, but we always ask our guests, what is your life after corporate story? When did you decide to launch a business? What was going on?
So I'm going to take a step back to my corporate story, which is that I was an actress in New York City. So I had no intention of waiting tables. And so I actually got a job at a hedge fund, and I was moonlighting at this hedge fund in New York City. And I thought I would be there for 6 months, and I ended up staying for 9 years. They transferred me out to Palo Alto, California. And when I was in California, that is when I really developed this bug for something more. That's sort of what took me from New York City to California anyway, because I thought, man, if I keep going at this pace, right? I was in my 30s, but I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work for me long term. So I go out to California. And if you're out here in California, you know that one city is really far from the other. And so I was commuting from San Francisco to Palo Alto. It's about an hour and a half commute. Sometimes you hit traffic, it becomes more. And I loved the people that I worked with. It was a smaller office. It was really wonderful. But I was like, you know, there's something else for me, right? And I didn't quite know what that something else was going to be. I just knew that I had to connect with it. So I spent about a year searching for something else and keeping my corporate job. And my brother was in Thailand, and he, you know, he was visiting Thailand. So I decided to take a quick vacation. And this was my actual first international trip, and like besides the Bahamas, right? So this was like a big, big deal. And I go to Thailand and I meet a yoga teacher. And this yoga teacher tells me about an ashram in India. And
oh my God, you get around and you go to all my favorite places, you know, from New York to Palo Alto to Thailand to the wine country. This is great. What a journey of following your nose or following your intuition.
Absolutely. absolutely. It's like I stick with it. I mean, I was there a hardcore 9 years, right? But when I left, I left. So I returned from Thailand. I actually go up to my boss and I said, "I'm this is my 2 weeks notice and I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do yet, but I bought a one-way ticket to India and I'm going to see what happens." And he called it my LeBron James moment. Like, I'm out of here. He's like, drop the mic. And he was like, good for you. Okay. And so I left my job and went on a one-way ticket. Luckily, I was able to Airbnb my apartment, right? So it's like, it ended up being a very inexpensive transition, kind of very seamless. Yeah. So that's the story, Deb.
It's so funny. And, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up because in many ways, this shift, this inkling of, you know, there's something that's not completely satisfactory here. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but there's something inside of me that is pushing me to something more, is very much a spiritual journey. And I've heard from many entrepreneurs that, and myself included, I mean, I got the idea for my business on a meditation cushion. And I remember, you know, looking up at the universe and just saying, are you serious? Do you know what my, do you know how much money I make? I mean, you really want me to make the leap right now? And when, once you get that and you see that, it's hard not to take action and make that leap. So that's a fabulous story. So you went to India, and how did you come upon the business that you're now in? How did you decide on your coaching and consulting business?
Well, so when I was an actress in New York, I had my own business. I actually had a theater company. It was called Manhattan Comedy Collective. And I've been very comfortable with online marketing for a very long time. And I actually originally, I think I joined B School before it was B School. It was Marie Forleo's B School. So, you know, it was like really, this was in New York City. That was a proud moment of mine where I got to learn from her before she got big, right? And so I've always had this desire to start my own business. I just didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. And so since I did have this corporate background, I really enjoyed working with corporate women. I absolutely loved it. Like, I found that when I was in their presence, I actually became more powerful. Like, I really felt it, right? When you're surrounded by very powerful women, you kind of step up and you're like, oh, I am too. I am one of them, right? And then also I know how to help them, right? I can see things that maybe they can't see because they're so entwined in their business, right? They're so entwined in work, right? And so I started working for a women's leadership organization out in Silicon Valley. And I started at the bottom. It's basically my climbing the corporate ladder story. I was stuffing binders. I literally stuffed binders and bought the coffee. And I remember telling my husband as I recruited him to stuff said binders that I was gonna coach them someday. Like, I was going to do more, right? It was definitely in the mailroom wanting more. And so I did what I teach my clients to do all of the time. I asked. Mm-hmm. I told my boss that I wanted her job. And then she ended up sponsoring me essentially and really showing me the ropes and really encouraging me and helping me grow. And then I got my coaching certification, gave me my first big break, so to speak. And then, I absolutely loved working for her, but there was something else that I wanted to do. And that's when I became this promotion strategist, basically essentially looking at what is keeping women from actually getting promoted, right? And so putting the pieces together in their company and sort of saying, okay, well, what is your boss telling? Well, have you had conversations with your boss's boss and how to navigate the political climate and really be a support for them to actually get promoted and to negotiate salaries? And that just really fired me up. And so when I started my own business and went off on my own, that's when I decided to really focus on that from the beginning, right out of the gate. I said, let's do this. And I had three women promoted to the C-suite in the first 6 months of coaching. And I was like, okay, stop.
Wow.
is working. Like, okay, let's start to figure out, okay, there's a process here. There is something that I'm doing that's unique. And so then that's the business I have today.
That's amazing. So for those women who, so there's a combination of women watching this show right now. Some are still in corporate and looking to move up that ladder, looking to ask for more, and others are looking to make the leap from corporate. So your story is interesting on both scores. So, but let's talk about women in corporate first. And you decided that, you know, you wanted your boss's job, you asked for it, and now you saw this opportunity where women get stuck. They get stuck and they don't know how to ask for more. They don't know how to go for their bigger roles. So what was it that you did with those three clients that ended up in the C-suite? You know, what was it? What was standing in their way and how did you help them?
So the first place that I always like to start with is a 3X vision. And I think where people are really getting stuck is today. So they're looking at where they want to get promoted to that next role. So they're sort of saying, okay, how do I get that job? Like it's so close to them. And so I just zoom out really, really far. And I say, what is your C-suite vision? So even if you're a director or a senior director, where do you want to be? And so this is the actual example of my number two promotion to the C-suite client. And she's in my book. She's actually in the introduction to my book. And I'm super proud, you know, it started all of this that I'm doing today. But she was a senior director of finance. And, you know, I said, where do you want to be eventually? Like three promotions from now. And she said, well, CFO, of course, right? Like, it was just like, of course, it came right out. I was like, absolutely. She's like in 5 years or so. And I said, well, what if it happened sooner? And then she was like, well, I mean, you know, I have to become vice president and senior vice president first, right? I was like, yeah, well, you know, okay, maybe, but you know, we'll see. But really it got her instantly to work. Right. So she said, oh, well, if I was going to be CFO, I would have to know the CEO better. Right. Because right now I have no relationship with the CEO. Okay, let's do that. So we actually started with her CEO. So instead of starting next promotion, which would be like better relationship with my boss, we were like better relationship with your CEO. So then she started to get empowered. She felt really strong about what she was doing. She was like speaking up more, building all of these relationships. And then her story actually takes a little bit of a turn in that she was told that she was going to be downsized. Like the company got bought out and all of these things started happening. And so the normal person would be like, you know, and then instantly start looking for lateral moves, right? And so they're sort of like floundering and trying to figure out what's next. And she decided to look for CFO promising positions, meaning like she ended up actually getting hired at a company as a senior vice president. And then within 6 months, she was promoted to CFO, right? So it was a definite, like she came in, she interviewed as a CFO. Like, you know, I teach my clients how to think and communicate like executives. She interviewed as a CFO, right? It's not the words, like the actual, like, I want to be a CFO, but it's like, how is she communicating?
Yeah. Your presence and your communication and the questions you're asking.
Exactly. All of that. Mm-hmm. It was at a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm. I'm so curious because you mentioned the comedy club in Manhattan, and I'm wondering, you know, how much of your acting background and your corporate background have been mashed up together in your coaching today? I mean, is it a little bit of acting too, of acting as if and putting yourself into that role and, you know, doing a little improv?
Okay. So a couple of different pieces to this. So at first, when I first started my business, I thought I had to act as if, right? You know, so you sort of, it's definitely like a lot of women who leave corporate too, this is what's happening for them is they feel like they're not themselves, right? So they're like acting, they have to act more powerfully. They have to, you know, do these things. And what I actually started to notice and transitioned, and this was not a notice on my part, actually, it was through a lot of coaching and through our collective mentor, I really started to uncover the power within myself. And so this is what I tell the women that I work with is that real authenticity is power. I realized that for myself is that we are incredibly, incredibly powerful women, like beyond measure. And it is the most authentic thing you can do to show up in that conversation and to say, hey, I want your job someday, right? That felt more true, like really true to me. And so what I notice is that when I'm around incredibly powerful women, I mean, I remember reaching out to you when I first met you and being like, can we schedule a time to talk? Because I was like, oh, Deb is a total badass. Like, I was like, no, I just want to be around her. And that's kind of what I've been doing. And I noticed that the women who join my programs, that's the elevation that they experience, is they're like, this was always me, but I'm in an environment where I feel like I can't be myself. And so we're able to be around other people that bring that out of us. And so then they re-engage at work in this powerful way that's completely authentic. And so that's where the magic really happens. They start to show up as that executive that they really always were.
Yeah. It's so interesting because there's so much about the corporate environment and corporate politics where it feels uncomfortable to be yourself, you know? And I remember back in the day, even like wearing monochromatic suits, like I was trying to be like the guys, you know, I didn't really want anyone to notice that I was standing out. I wanted to fit in. And it's so interesting to know that it is that authenticity. And that's what attracts me to you too, is you're so authentic. You have a way of plain speaking, a way of breaking down concepts, making it easy, making it all about being who you are. So let's talk about the book. You know, why this book? Why now? You clearly have something that's working. You have a secret sauce that you're working with your clients on, and they're skipping steps in the corporate ladder and getting that executive ahead of time position. Why the book? Why now? And what do you hope it'll do?
Well, I'm sure one of the things that you work with your clients on are the creation of assets, right? And so yes. When we're creating assets like our programs, our methodology, our podcast, essentially what we're doing is we're writing a book. And I didn't really realize that at the time, but, and you'll get told that too, actually. And I found it very annoying when I was getting told it. They said, you know, you should write a book, or, and you've basically already written it because you have over 100 podcast episodes. You have this program. You should write a book. It's a book. It's already there. And then, so this is a little bit of backstory. I guess I'm skipping ahead, talking about the process of actually being able to write the book. And then I'll sort of say why now in terms of why women need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm sure, you know, the Life After Corporate listeners, there are people out there who have said the same thing. You know, people have told me I need to write a book. There's a book in me. I can't tell you how many years. I mean, I've gone through different businesses and, you know, people want me to write The Great Duo. Over, and now people want me to write Life After Corporate, and it feels daunting.
Yes, exactly. That's what I felt.
Getting that, you know, and we're no longer talking about pen to paper, but you have all these assets, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're writing blogs or you have a podcast. So what did you do? Like, how did you start putting the pieces of the story together?
So the very first piece is I did have an intention to write a book, right? So I wanted to write a book. I was a little bit frustrated in that, like, oh yeah, this should be easier. So I was having this conversation with my husband, and it wasn't my proudest moment, where I said, he's like, you know, just write the book. It's written. Just write the book. It's written. And I said, well, if it was written, I would have already written it. And lovely for him, because we've spent 2 years, literally him being my best friend, the only person I see day in and day out because of the pandemic, right? So yeah. He understands that when I'm like that, then to just actually, he didn't leave. He just was like, oh, let's talk about it. And let's figure out what's going on, which was really special. And we came up with this word, actually only after about 10 minutes, that was collecting. And so instead of writing the book, I decided to collect it.
Wow.
It turned that light bulb on, and I just went to work. It was like, I took all the transcripts of my podcast episodes. I started pulling them together. I have transcripts of my programs. I have worksheets. I have workbooks. I literally just turned into editing mode on my computer and moving everything around and everything. And then I hired an outside editor to help me flow it, right? And so then a creative flow. And then I took that flow, and then I turned that flow into more stories. Okay, there's no stories in here, right? There's this not. And so it just, the process really unfolded, and it happened way easier. Almost so when you have something happen quite so easy, you're like, wait, am I doing something wrong? Because this is like working, right? Everything is just working. There's no stress. I'm not upset. Nothing's wrong.
Wow. That's amazing. I love the concept of collecting, because we already have so many assets, you know, your blog posts, your programs, your teaching, your worksheets, the stories that you're telling when you're delivering webinars or you're speaking from the stage. All of those things are assets that you can collect into a story and start with a flow. What was scary, or what were some of the sticking parts in writing your book?
Yeah, well, so one of the things that I had to do is I had executive ahead of time was on a 2-month launch process. So I was launching it every 2 months and you have your whole 2021 planned out. You've thought through when all your launches are going to be. You know, sometimes you don't, but this time I did. I was very organized, very planful, exactly what I was going to do. And I decided that I needed to give up something in order to really commit to writing this book, to really make that my highest priority. And I think the hardest moment of writing the book, and it's a little hard now too, putting yourself out there now that it's out. But in the beginning, it was about committing to the book, which so the book is my 3X vision. It's getting me closer to my 3X. That the book is not my 3X vision now. It's my vision. But it's, you know, it's getting me much closer to doubling the number of women promoted in the C-suite. I mean, that's way closer. Executive ahead of time is as well. What I decided to do is I said, I don't have to do the next launch. I was like, I don't. And the thoughts that came up were all scarcity. And I know you talk about scarcity on this podcast as well. And the idea that it was like, but if I don't, then what will happen? Dumb words like lose momentum and these kind of things that you think you need to be successful. But in reality, if you're authentically powerful, you will be successful. Like it's like 2 months off of this program. This is a long game. This is not the short-term game. This is what I teach, right? And so it was okay. And I really just had to trust that. So I made the decision to cancel my launch and cancel the program for that. Actually, I ended up for 4 months. It was a very strong decision. And I did it from an incredibly powerful place. Luckily, I didn't have to refund anybody because I hadn't launched, but I did email everybody who was interested, you know, all of those people that you feel like you're disappointing. And I just celebrated the future, what we were creating with this book, right? I was like, I'm going to do this book. And then, you know, the program will be here in the fall, right? And that was hard and so important
and scary because you're really turning away revenue, right? So you're walking away. And the scariest thing for a woman entrepreneur is to walk away from revenue and say, you know, I'm going to defer this to the future, knowing that this book will amplify and support my future success. And I can see it right now. So I have really great intuitive skills. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, Stacy has this book. You're getting paid to speak on corporate stages. And actually, I'm thinking right now, I have a speaking opportunity for you.
Yeah, we might
be able to do this together. This will be so exciting. But yeah, it's scary. And so those are some of the choices. I remember I made a similar decision this year. I was going to do a 3-day event and I wanted to do it first live and in person and then ended up bringing it online. And then I decided, you know, this isn't in the best service to me right now. And although I would love to do an event and gather people together, I would rather do it at a time when we could gather in person and, you know, really have a more impactful thing. So, and that was supposed to be a big revenue producer for me this year. And so deferring that really felt scary too. So you have to make out the time for it. And so I want to recap a couple of the things that you said. Number one is you're collecting your book. You're not writing your book. It's not like you're staring at a blank page and trying to come up with something from scratch. You already have the assets that you can pull together into this book. And the other thing is to make time for it. Time for it. Because one of the things that gets in my way, in full transparency, is like, oh, when am I going to find the time to write this book? You know, I'm already working somewhat a couple hours on weekends and I don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I have friends who wrote their book at 4 a.m. I'm like, that's not me. So this is great. What other tips do you have for people who are thinking of writing a book? Because you did it rather quickly. You just started this and now it's published and now it's sitting behind you on the shelf. I can see it.
Thank you. So there's a couple. I said, thank you for noticing my book behind me. Thank you. So there's a couple of different pieces. So some of the things that I didn't know or understand about writing a book from a publishing perspective that I learned very quickly. And this could be a generalization. I'm not a book publisher, but this is definitely what I was told, is that when you hire a book publisher, usually you get them before you're you've written the book, right? And so I talk about collecting the book. I mean, the book really was already written, right? And so I was at a point where I couldn't get a traditional publisher. And here's why. Not because of the idea wasn't brilliant and not because they wouldn't have signed me. It was because it's a 2-year process. My timeline was like, the book comes out now. Right. You know, wasn't the book is this is my first book. I'm already thinking about the next book. Right. Like it was like, no, the book comes out in 2021. Right. So what I would also offer your listeners is that even if you're still in the afraid to write the book stage, but you're also you have ideas and you, of course, you have a business model and you have you know what the book might be about. Go ahead and do the proposals to publishers like now. Right. And there are people who can help you do that, because then that can be the catalyst to write the book next year and things like that, because the process is very, very long. And so what I ended up doing is what I call, and I don't think they call it this, but I call it a pay to play. And this actually comes from the improv world. So there used to be, when I was in New York, you could pay to play. So you would take classes at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, and then you would get performance time. And so that was a way that you could literally get on stage and even in front of casting directors and things like that. And so there was really no shame in this. It was like, you know, you just do it, right? That's how you actually get up in front of people. And so I ended up hiring a publishing company that self-publishes. And so the name of the company is Scribe. They're absolutely amazing. I highly recommend them. And the way that it works is that it's sort of that combination of the two. So I had a tremendous amount of publishing support. I have an incredibly, not that it would have looked unprofessional if I had done it by myself, but it certainly would have been a lot more headaches, right? And they handled a lot of the back end, what your publisher would handle. But yet, you know, it wasn't the traditional publishing mm-hmm. deal. So it was incredibly accessible and doable. And then I got exactly what I wanted on the end, which is my book out in 2021.
That's beautiful. And how timely, you know, when we're in this period of the great resignation, the great retention, we had 5 million women who lost their jobs in 2020. And I don't know the latest stats, but last I heard, I think it was 1.5 million still haven't returned to work. And many women rethinking work. Does this help them with the decision of what's my next?
Yeah. So actually, I'm so glad you said that, because this was the answer to your first question, which was why now, right? And why did this book have to come out now? And so everything that I teach is taking ownership of your career, right? Like I literally say, what is the difference between that person next to you who keeps getting promoted and you, you know? And sometimes you can say it's their gender or their race, right? That could be some of it. But it's this idea of deliberately managing your career, right? Like actually taking steps forward to get yourself into those executive positions, to learning how to think and communicate like an executive leader. And so this is a process that is all about the entrepreneurial side of corporate leadership, right? How do we own our career? How do we really step into that role for ourselves? And so what I'm noticing is that a lot of the women that I coach are the ones being left behind, right? So there, a tremendous amount of them have no desire to leave corporate, really. I mean, this was their choice. They're still in it, right? A lot of them are breadwinners, whatever, their spouses don't work or they're single or whatever that might be, but they are the income producers. They had set a path to become an executive, right? That is their choice. But now what they're doing is they're head down in the weeds because their whole team just quit, right? And they can't hire fast enough. And so they're completely stuck. And so the second chapter in the book is getting yourself out of the weeds, right? And how to actually do that. And so it's really reminding them that their career is still in their control. So that's the one piece, is that you can own it, right? You can create your own path. They don't own you, right? I say your organization needs you in the C-suite more than you need them. And in corporate, we always feel like we're working for them, but really we're working for ourselves.
That's a tweetable, my friends. We think we're working for them. We're really working for ourselves. Absolutely.
Totally. And then the second piece is that organizations are willing to say yes. So the other thing I'm noticing for my women is that they're getting 3, 4, 5 opportunities, right? So they're not only getting an outside opportunity saying it's a promotion outside, they're also getting opportunities internally because of the great resignation and also the emphasis on diversity and inclusion. And so they don't have, you'll notice a lot of companies, it's like lip service, But when you step up and when you are the Black woman that's like, I am ready to lead at your C-suite, and you're actually showing up as that executive, right, they're just like, whoa, you were right here. And then they just get promoted. Well, and I'd like an extra 100K, yes, please. Yes. Yes.
It is happening. I just got off a conversation with another client who is a diversity and equity and inclusion consultant, and she's helping women behind the scenes and helping them negotiate, and they're getting big, big, big bumps up in pay. And we're just not asking for enough, ladies. We're just not asking for enough in general.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're inside corporate, if you're an entrepreneur, double your fees. If you're inside corporate, you know, tack on another six figures to your ask. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And those opportunities are great right now. This leads me to think, Stacey, that you must be in demand in the corporate world. Are companies having you come in and actually train their women leaders?
So I've been thinking a lot about this. And I think I was like thinking about the future of the corporate world, I should say, is that I want to change organizations from the C-suite out. And I was like, what does that really look like? Like, what is my vision? And what I realized, to answer your question, is the answer is no, I am not in demand. And I was like, why? And it's because of the woman in HR who emails me and says, I'm going to bring you in to speak to our women about promotions. And I'm like, okay, you know, that sounds wonderful. And then she proposes it and they're like, not right now. And the reason is, I mean, and we know this when we work at companies, is that our organizations want us to be better leaders, to be better managers. They don't want us to go for promotions, higher salaries, and it's complete scarcity mindset. Organizations, corporations are running on scarcity mindset. We don't have enough.
Right. It's not in the budget.
Yeah. And so I look at organizations like Salesforce. I've been thinking a lot about Mark Benioff and Salesforce, and just, I'm going to do a podcast episode coming out about him because he is not that, right? And he was leading the charge on equal pay. He made salaries transparent, and he was allowing women to actually say, like, look, let's look at the numbers. Let's, and really open it up, really hold ourselves accountable for making sure that people are in the right roles, that we're not doing lip service to professional development, that we genuinely want them to succeed. And I think that we just, at this point, we haven't made that transition yet. So organizations are still like, what does that look like exactly? You know, executive ahead of time, people are going to be all overqualified and asking for more. And I'm like, and yeah, and you know what else? They're going to be delivering more. They're going to be happier. They're going to be doing, you know, and so that's why I am reminding the women as they're, I mean, I don't have to remind them as they get promoted because they know it, right? They know what change they're going to make when they get into the C-suite, right? And then they're going to be those influencers and those positions. And this is not just, I'll also say, this is not pie in the sky too, because the process that I teach executive ahead of time is teaching you also how to be successful when you're in that position, right? Because what happens is we get promoted to the board, or we get on a board as the only woman, and then we have no voice and no impact, right? We get a seat at the table, we have no voice and no impact. And so I'm giving them the tools so they're actually included in the conversation once they get there, and they're bringing their whole selves, their whole powerful, authentic self to the leadership table. And that's when the change is really starting to happen. So I am getting brought into organizations, I will say, with the women who I have promoted. So I'm like, you know, it's working. It's working.
And nothing bad happens when women are in positions of more authority and more power, or they're making more money. No. I mean, nothing bad happens. And, you know, for all the progress that we've made as women, and that was air quotes, no one saw those, but the progress we've made as women in the workforce, we're still way, 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 way far behind. And it really is up to us to change the ask, to change the mindset, to change how we show up, and to break out of conditioned patterns, culturally conditioned patterns, belief systems that have gotten in the way of us thinking that we have to go step by step, or we're not good enough, we're not qualified enough. And Stacey, I'm so glad that you exist. I'm so glad to call you a friend. I value as a colleague. I have such high respect for the work that you're doing. And yes to more women in the C-suite. So promotions made easy. Go grab that book. Where can people get your book?
On Amazon is the easiest, but everywhere the books are sold.
Okay. We will drop that link in our show notes and below this live broadcast as well. And what about people who want to work with you? What's the best way for them to get in touch?
Well, I love sharing with people my podcast, because if you're a podcast listener of this, then you're also a podcast listener, right? So Maximize Your Career. That is a really excellent thing that you can share with your colleagues, other women who are still in corporate America. Definitely let them know. Go to Maximize Your Career and check that out. And I always offer free trainings that I talk about on my podcast as well.
Awesome. Maximize Your Career podcast on all your podcast platforms. Grab Promotions Made Easy. Stay connected to Stacey Mayer. She's doing great things in the world. Thank you so much for joining Life After Corporate today, Stacey.
Thank you, Deb. This is
wonderful. And we had a live book launch party. This was so much fun.
It was so good. Thank you.
All right. That's it, my friends. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.